Listen to the Lord's radio station. Zipporah Mundy is my name. Thank you so much for joining me today. Hurricane Harvey has caused Houston complete devastation, and one person that was a part of a team that was there to help gather information about Hurricane Harvey is Lieutenant Colonel Kevin Green, commander of the Hurricane Hunters 53rd Weather Reconnaissance Squadron. Lieutenant Colonel Green, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
Well, we really appreciate you taking time to talk with us today. We know it's a busy time for you. Now, you flew into Hurricane Harvey, is that correct?
I did. I flew Hurricane Harvey. Actually, I flew not the mission just prior to landfall, but the one slightly before that. So I flew Harvey as it was about 15 miles off the coast of Corpus Christi.
Wow. What was that like?
Well, I'll tell you, I have about 44, well, prior to that flight, I had about 44 storm penetrations, which would be the number of times I've flown through an eye of a hurricane. And on an average flight, we get about 4. That night, we got about 7.
Wow.
Right? And we knew that it was a critical mission, that it was very close to the coast, and that because Harvey had intensified so quickly, that it was essential that that information was gathered and then kind of sent out via the Hurricane Center. So it being my first mission of the season and understanding the importance of it, and I actually have family in Houston and South Texas, I guess it was very sobering to be there and to experience it.
Now, how long have you been a hurricane hunter?
I've been flying as a hurricane hunter since 2007, so about 10 years now. But I've only been the commander for about a year.
Okay. So for those that may not know how the hurricane hunters operate, tell us why you fly into hurricanes, what you're looking for when you go in, and who you're reporting the information to.
Okay. So the reason why we fly into hurricanes, and there are many different variables that affect the category of a hurricane and how we determine the projected path of a hurricane, what determines the intensity of a hurricane. But we fly in because we gather very valuable data that completes, if not only, at times it may be the only data available to make those determinations. So we'll fly in, we drop an instrument called a SON into the eye of the storm. So we'll drop that at the eye of the hurricane as well as in the eye wall, which is the most turbulent area of the storm, also has the highest winds, greatest intensity. Think of it as the circle of storms around the center, as you see it on a satellite picture or a radar picture. Mm-hmm. That's the eye wall. And so we drop instruments into those sections of the storm so that we can understand the intensity, humidity, pressure, things of that nature. And then that information is sent back via satellite to the National Hurricane Center and then broadcast to everyone else.
Wow, so the National Hurricane Center is getting information from you.
Yes, they are. We, along with, now there is another unit called the Hurricane Hunters. They are with NOAA. Mm-hmm. We're the only two units, to my knowledge, in the world that do this. We fly a C-130 aircraft. They fly AP-3, I believe, still. I know they're transitioning to another airframe soon. Mm-hmm. But between the two of us, we send all of our information to the National Hurricane Center, and then through the National Weather Service, it goes out to everyone else.
Now, how dangerous is it flying into a hurricane?
Well, you know, I guess it's how you measure danger, right?
Right.
Danger could be because of the fear, possibly, that something creates, or it could be the real danger, as in, unfortunately, potential of loss of life.
Right.
Now, with those two categories, the potential of loss of life, at flight altitude, for us, a hurricane is actually not that dangerous.
Okay.
As in, we've lost one aircraft. I believe it was in the 70s. I could be wrong, so don't quote me necessarily on the time frame. But we have lost only one aircraft, call sign Swan 38, in the Hurricane Hunters since the Hurricane Hunters began in 1944.
Okay.
So with that as a measure, we have an exceptional safety record, and danger in the sense of loss of life is very low for us.
Okay.
Now, if you go danger in the sense of how it feels emotionally, and the intensity of the environment you're working in. Now, that is a very different measure, and it can be very different per storm.
Right.
And Harvey was one of those that at times I would feel that anxiety returning when it was in the most intense portions of it. Mm-hmm. But it was also, considering it was a Category 4 at landfall, and when I entered Harvey, it was a Category 2, and it evolved into a Category 4 within about 4 or 5 hours. But with that, at that level and with that much intensity, it was also very unlike other storms. It was well-formed, yet there were not as many thunderstorms, right? Mm-hmm. But a broad area of rain and rain showers. So it felt in flight, in my opinion, more like a Category 2 or a lower category storm. But it had winds and rainfall of a Category 4 and 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long do you follow a hurricane when you once you're flying into one, how long do you stay with one? How long do you follow one?
So our taskings for hurricanes, our controlling agency is actually from the Air Force, but we coordinate with the Department of Commerce, which is where the Hurricane Center is situated under organizationally in the government. And the Hurricane Center will task us. So we generally, if we can get to them when they're still low pressure systems, we'll fly them when it's just a low pressure system. So to you and I, it would look just kind of like a cloudy day.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But through whatever means, with whatever data that's already been received, the probability that will evolve into a potential hurricane or a tropical depression, a tropical storm is determined, and then they'll send us out.
Okay.
For example, Hurricane Irma, which is crossing the Atlantic now, headed towards the Lesser Antilles, so mm-hmm. towards the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
If it had not crossed 52 West line of longitude and had, as a hurricane, it had only been a tropical depression, we probably would have gone out to fly it. So pretty much from inception through landfall, we fly them once we get them.
I see. Now, I know I've asked you this before because I've had the opportunity to talk with you before. But just for those that might not have heard that interview and they may be wondering, how are you flying in a hurricane? Can you explain that to us?
Okay. So how do airplanes fly in hurricanes?
Yes. And how do you do it safely?
Okay. So this is how it works. We actually fly what are called intercardinal headings. Mm-hmm. A cardinal heading would be north, south, east, and west. Winds in a hurricane turn counterclockwise. And so instead of flying north, southeast, and west, we'll fly northeast, northwest, southwest, southeast. So what that does for us is it always puts the wind off our wing, mm-hmm. so it doesn't affect our airspeed.
Gotcha.
Right? Another way to think of it would be, as far as the ability to fly in a storm, is that airplanes move in air. So mm-hmm. if the air is pushing along, then it simply moves the aircraft. Whereas on the ground, those objects are immovable, being a building, so it would be much more destructive.
That makes a lot of sense. And I didn't realize that till the first time you told me that. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Right.
So how high do you have to fly into the air to get the information that you need? And what's the highest wind speed that you've ever reported?
The highest wind speed I've ever reported was about 171 miles per hour.
Whoa, that's fast.
It is very fast. A Category 5 starts at 155.
Whoa, okay.
So the highest is 171. And altitudes we fly at 10,000 feet for a major hurricane and also minor hurricanes, just to allow ourselves a little more time if we do find ourselves in an emergent situation mm-hmm. to be able to respond in the aircraft, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you got to remember, these storms go up to 40, 50,000 feet plus.
Right.
So we're still well within the storm. We are not flying above the storm at all. We're flying through some of the most intense areas of the storm at all times.
Wow. Now, the one that was 171, do you remember, like, which hurricane it is? Because you really make me want to go look it up. The name of the hurricane. Did they name that one?
They did. And I don't want to tell you, but I will. It is Harvey.
Are you serious? It was Harvey?
It was Harvey, but the number was an outlier, so we didn't factor it into our data.
Uh-huh.
Because it was so much higher than everything else we received, we were not so comfortable with pushing that information forward.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
But it was Harvey.
Wow. So, okay. Now, Hurricane Harvey has caused us to talk about Hurricane Sandy and Hurricane Katrina, you know, hurricanes from the past that did a lot of damage. And we mm-hmm. saw some horrific things as a result of the aftermath of Katrina. Yet, you know, what's happening with Harvey is something that, you know, we're hearing hasn't happened before. So the constant rain, the flooding in Houston, is there anything that's unique about each hurricane that you could observe when you go after it? Any indicator at all, even if you can't quite know what the full aftermath is going to look like, is there anything that's unique about hurricanes aside from their category numbers that can kind of give you something to know of what's to come?
Well, I know I've given you this answer before, that I'm not a meteorologist. So that's my general disclaimer for everyone that hears this.
Okay.
But what I would offer is the environment in which the hurricane makes landfall.
Okay.
Meaning Harvey made landfall within a system above it that did not allow it to move beyond, far beyond where it made initial landfall. So therefore, it's basically stalled over South Texas for quite a while, and then rolled back out into the Gulf and then into West Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just the hurricane itself, but all the other factors around it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Harvey, I thought, was really interesting because it evolved so rapidly, like I said earlier, 4 to 5 hours from a Cat 2 to a Cat 5. So the expectation, I would think, from an emergency management standpoint is very different in resource management when you're facing a Cat 2 versus a Category 4 mm-hmm. hurricane. And there were very few hours to be able to prepare for that for millions of people.
Right.
So a very difficult situation to anticipate, to prepare for. So I would say the entire, not only the weather environment in which it will make landfall, but is it near a major city? Is it out in the middle of the Atlantic where it probably won't do much damage to anything at all, maybe disrupt a few shipping lanes? I think all of those things are taken into factored in.
Mm-hmm.
As we consider it. For me, it was how quickly some of these storms ramp up
mm-hmm.
and the lives that it could potentially impact on the ground.
Right. So I can imagine that when you are, and I don't even know how much you watch the news or listen to the news, but when you hear the debates that go on, you know, because hindsight is always 20/20. That's what they say. But when,
right.
but you having firsthand information, not just seeing the storm, but being in the storm and having information about it, you have a lot more insight of what could have and what couldn't have been done. Would you say that's accurate?
It would be accurate. But fortunately for everyone, our information is shared, I mean, almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So before we transitioned into the eye wall again, so in an average storm, we transition an eye about 4 times, an average storm.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes us about an hour and 45 minutes to transition around the quadrant. So we're going to each of the quadrants of the storm. And by the time we return to the eye, we've already sent our vortex message, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
So all of our data and information, we've sent that to the Hurricane Center. They're factoring it in. And that information is going out as quickly as it could be validated and put into models.
Mm-hmm.
So the information, what I'm saying is the information that I have, it's given to the public before I even land.
Right.
So they get to, so I don't play secret. I don't keep secrets at all, of course.
Right.
But the Monday morning quarterback scenario here, I grew up in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And for many storms, we did not leave as a kid. Hurricane Andrew hit, and I slept in my dorm room at LSU as though it was nothing.
Right.
So I kind of, one part of me understands the reluctance and the stubbornness, and even at times the cultural unwillingness to move because a storm's coming. But now the Kevin Green that has experienced these hurricanes throughout the world, I understand how critical it actually can be and how devastating they can be. And it's just not worth the possibility of losing those that are most precious to you or those things that are most precious to you just because you're willing to stay for a storm, in my opinion.
Right. And as I hear you, like, say how fast it went from, you know, because there are some saying that, you know, Houston should have been totally evacuated. And then, of course, the mayor is saying you can't put this many people on the high, you know, on the road. And when I hear you talk about how fast, you know, how rapid it grew, then it's almost like, was there anything that, even in looking in hindsight, could you have really prepared for it? Or is it just sometimes you just can't, even as prepared as you can be, it's hard to really be prepared? Like, do you understand what I'm trying to ask?
Yeah, I do. And you're right. It's almost impossible to prepare for certain things in life. But I do think that this situation, you know, the horrific circumstances that people are experiencing right now, is going to cause a few more conversations to be held, mm-hmm. much more thought to be given. And I think that we will be more prepared, mm-hmm. but I don't think that we will ever be fully prepared because there's just so many possibilities.
Right.
And to think that someone made a bad decision because Houston was not evacuated or other, no, even smaller cities are greatly affected as well. I know that just from having experienced Katrina and the Gulf Coast of Mississippi and how those areas are sometimes forgotten when major population centers are impacted like Houston is. I mean, there are other areas that are impacted as well.
Right.
But when we make the decision or the decision is made not to evacuate, it's easy to turn back and say, hey, you guys should have.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you affect lives, you affect jobs, you affect schools. It's not an easy thing to do.
Right. So what is it like for you to see all the devastation of the hurricane on Houston, knowing, especially since you were in the hurricane and you could see firsthand what was about to hit the city? And then you said you have family in Houston. So what is that like for you?
You know, sometimes when you're there, you wish you could just call someone down on the ground to say, run away, you know, get out of there as fast as you can. And then when you come back and you just see it, you see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
You've experienced some of these things firsthand. I don't know. It's very hard to put into words. And my sisters were there. My nieces are there. And they're all fine. They did well. It was very difficult to watch. You know, and it makes you want to get out and do something. Like, I want to get in my car and I want to drive to Houston. And I want to start helping pull people out of houses or, you know, wherever they are. And maybe give someone a blanket because they're cold, right?
Right.
Yet, Irma's coming, so I'm going to go the other way and try to help someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes you just kind of want to run to their rescue is what it does for me anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And tell me, when there's a tropical storm brewing, at what point do you determine, like, when to go out or what to do, crew?
Oh, as far as our aircraft deployment?
Yes. Yes.
Actually, that comes, again, from the Hurricane Center. So they watch it, and they'll task us. And we try to position ourselves about 16 hours prior from our first flight into the storm.
Mm-hmm.
It really just depends on what it will potentially impact, at what level, as in either category or tropical storm or tropical depression it is, how quickly we're able to respond to it, as well as what else is going on in the world.
Right.
Because today, there's a pressure system out in the Bay of Campeche, so that's Southern Gulf near Mexico. There's a low pressure. There's a pressure system. If not, I might even actually be a tropical storm by now. I haven't looked today. Off the East Coast, and then there's Hurricane Irma heading our direction as well.
Right.
So we try to judge which requires the most resources soonest to understand how we should react.
I see. Now, I know that experiences can shape your thoughts on things, and life always brings lessons along with it. So from all of your hurricane hunting experience and then having to watch the aftermath, and I felt really heavy as I heard you try to or not try to put in words what you felt like you couldn't, you know, but I could feel the weight of what you were saying. But after all of your experience of hurricane hunting and then watching the aftermath, is there anything that you've learned or developed a unique perspective about from this job?
I have a real appreciation for those that are willing to put themselves on the line to protect others.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean the hurricane hunters. I'm not speaking about the people that I fly with at all, even though I think that they are exceptional people. I'm really speaking of, like, all of our first responders. And some of those first responders are actually just our neighbors coming to help.
Yeah.
So I have a great appreciation for that. You see the best in humanity in situations such as these, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a great appreciation for that. Now, more practically, less philosophically, I have a strong appreciation for preparedness,
mm-hmm.
as in ensuring that you do have a plan when you find yourself in a potential situation. You have resources, you have everything from flashlights and batteries to a decision point, whereas you would decide to actually leave your home,
mm-hmm.
And not letting emotions cloud your judgment during that time, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's good. Lieutenant Colonel Kevin Green, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for just pausing for a minute to just share with all of the listeners and share with us your perspective, your experience. Lastly, can you tell me what you felt when you were flying into Hurricane Harvey? What were some of the thoughts that crossed your mind?
Well, first of all, you're welcome, and I will always be available to you.
All right.
I really enjoy speaking with you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But what did I feel flying into Harvey? It being my first of the season, actually, I think it's my first hurricane in 2 years. I don't think I flew a hurricane last year. There was a little anxiety, you know, because you want to do well. You understand how important it is. and you see how close it is to shore, and you know how many people it impacts. I just wanted to do the best that I could, right?
Mm-hmm.
To ensure that information got where it needed to be to the people that, you know, needed that info. We train, we practice, we fly them. So there's not as much. When people often ask the question, I think they're looking for me to say that I was, you know, shaken, nervous, afraid. But it's not fear, and it's also not necessarily overwhelming bravery. I don't want to make it sound that way. But mm-hmm. I think it's more focus.
Mm-hmm.
And you just want to do the best that you can at, you know, at your current endeavor.
Got you. Or is there anything else you would like to add or share with the audience that's listening to you now?
I guess the only thing I could share is, well, two things. One, if you find yourself in the unfortunate circumstances that are currently happening in Houston and South Texas, or potential in that situation, be prepared. You know, have a plan as to what you'll do for you and your family and those that you care about. And the other thing would be, my heart really does go out to Houston, South Texas, those folks, even in West Louisiana, that are affected. We are paying attention, and the folks in my squadron care deeply, and we will always do our absolute best to give them the information that's necessary.
Thank you so much, Lieutenant Colonel Kevin Green, commander of the Hurricane Hunters, 53rd Weather Reconnaissance Squadron. Keep your dial right here on the Lawrence Radio Station. We're your station for inspiration and information.